Our first reading comes from the book of 1 Corinthians. Listen now for God's holy word. Paul says to his friends, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in Him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gifts as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By Him you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." And our sermon passage comes from the book of Isaiah. Listen again for God's holy word. Isaiah says, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountain quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for Him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember your iniquity forever. Now, consider, we are all your people. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, Amen. Amen. In our passage for this morning, the prophet Isaiah expresses what to me is a very troubling idea. The prophet expresses the idea that God has become fed up with Isaiah and his people. And rather than rescuing them, God instead has left God's people and turned them over to their sinful and destructive ways. In our passage, the prophet professes this belief. He says, "You, God, you hid yourself, and we transgressed. You have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity." Just before our passage, the prophet pleads with God, trying to remind God of God's characteristics. The prophet says, "Where, God, is your zeal, your might? Where is your yearning heart and your compassion?" Essentially, the prophet is saying, "What happened to you, God? You used to love us. You used to be passionate about us. You used to yearn for us and show us compassion. And now, O God, it seems like you are silent. You are missing. You are gone. The fire of your passion for us has gone out. Why, O God, have you left us? The results have been terrible." Here, I believe the prophet is expressing what must have been the honest sentiments which he and his people were experiencing. They had experienced a terrible tragedy in their lives. Life had not gone the way that they had imagined or believed that it would or that it should. And this hard and difficult experience left them with this terrible notion, this terrible idea that perhaps God had become fed up with them. It seemed to them that God had lost God's patience and God had left them to their own terrible choices. This being the first Sunday of Advent, it is a Sunday when we typically focus on the theme of hope. And thankfully, there is hope to be found here in this passage with the hard concepts surrounding it. The hope in this passage is found in the midst of Isaiah and his people's despair. For the prophet, despite the fact that he seems to believe that God has left, the prophet still finds reason to call out to God in prayer. It seems that alive in the heart of the prophet is a smoldering ember of hope. Despite the darkness all around him, it still glows. The prophet might feel like God has left him and his people, but still he believes in the core of his being that God still listens. For the prophet, it might feel like God is far off and distant, but the prophet still prays, believing that God will listen. Our passage, therefore, is not just a declaration of God's turning away and leaving the people. The prophet is not just explaining to history about the moment and the reasons when God departed. Instead, this passage is a prayer. It is the prophet's plea, bidding God to return and to act for God's people. It is the prophet's heartfelt prayer to God, a prayer that is founded in this undying ember of hope. In hope, the prophet reaches out to God. The prophet reaches out in the hope that God will remember God's fatherly love and his ways of compassion. The prophet reaches out to God despite the sense that God has left and appeals to God as the potter of the clay. The prophet pleads, saying, "We are the clay. And you, O God, you are our potter. We are the work of your hands." The prophet pleads with God that God would return to the potter's wheel, to once again work the people, to give them a new heart, a new spirit, to reclaim them, renew them, to reshape them, and remold them. The prophet in his prayer seeks to remind God, "We are your creation. We are the works of your hands. We are your people." The prophet is saying to God, "Remember us. Remember us. Return to us. Give us life." For me, reading this passage and studying it this week has not been easy. This is not an easy passage. It is a hard passage. It is a hard passage for me to know how to incorporate into my own faith life. For the prophet expresses here a very challenging idea. The idea that God can become fed up with us and leave. My favorite passages in the Bible are not about how God might or could or has left us in the past. My favorite passages in the Bible are the other side of that coin, where God is for us, how God has promised to be with us always, how nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. My favorite passages in the Bible are about how God will be like a good shepherd to us, how God will lead us and be with us even when we go through the valleys of the shadow of death. And if we do in fact go astray, if we find ourselves lost or wandering away from the flock and the fold, we like to be reminded by passages in the Bible that tell us that God is like a good shepherd who goes to great lengths to search us out and find us when we are lost sheep. This passage from the book of Isaiah, therefore, is not my favorite passage in the Bible. But I do believe that Isaiah's words do strike a chord with us. I believe they do resonate with our troubled hearts, for it is the case that we experience sorrows and tragedies in our lives that make us wonder if perhaps God has become fed up with us and our sinful world, and perhaps God has decided to leave us. When our good friends are diagnosed with cancer, when the treatments don't seem to work, and when there are no good options left, what are we to do but to look towards heaven and wonder, where has God gone? When our politicians and our national political leaders act for what seems to be their own self-interest, when they refuse to show modesty, humility, or selflessness, when they use their positions not to serve the least among us, but to benefit the greatest, when our politics are so divisive that they lead to violence and hatred, what is there left to do but to look towards heaven and wonder, where, God, have you gone? When we see in the headlines the constant news of mass shootings and terrorist attacks, and hearing about millions of people affected and displaced by natural disasters, we look towards heaven and we wonder, where has God gone? This hard passage from the book of Isaiah, it too is God's word to us. This hard passage is God's word to us in that through it, I believe, God gives us permission to ask this hard question. God gives us permission to wonder. God gives us the words that we need to express the feelings that we honestly feel at times. The feelings that God has left, that God is far off, that God is no longer around. But this passage also speaks to our experience of hope. As the prophet found that he retained that smoldering ember of hope in the core of his being, so too does hope reside in our hearts and in our lives. I believe by God's own Holy Spirit, God keeps hope alive in our hearts. That despite the darkness, despite the sorrows, despite the fear and the trouble that swirl around us, we know, as the prophet knew, that we still can call out to God, and that as distant and far off as God might feel, God is still there to hear us, to listen, and to respond. And so we pray, remember us, O God. Remember your people. Remember that you are the potter and we are the clay. Reshape us, we pray. Remake us. Remold us. Make us new. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens, O Lord, and return to us. Shake our lives. Shake our world. Send your holy fire into our lives, into our hearts, that it might consume our fear, our doubt, our sorrow. Kindle in us, O God, faith and hope and love. Return to us, O God, and remember, you are our God, and we are your people. Amen.